You're listening to Comedy Central.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Derica, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You have written a book that is sure to get you a ton of praise and then, I mean, death threats and criticisms from the high heavens because, I mean, like, I've learned this personally. If you even suggest a criticism of the police,
yes,
especially in America, you are seen as somebody who hates all police. You're seen as somebody who loves crime. You're seen as somebody who just doesn't believe in a functioning society.
Yes.
But when you go abolish the police, I mean, let's start with that. How do you even begin a conversation around like abolishing the police without having people believe that then we're going to be living like in like a Mad Max dystopian future?
Oh, well, it depends on who I'm talking to, right? So there are people who I organize with or communities where I live. And when I talk about police abolition, the first question is, you know, what about the murderers? What about the rapists? Will I be safe?
Right.
And I'm usually in conversation with people who are most vulnerable to violence from their lovers, their neighbors, strangers, mm-hmm, cops.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I ask them, with a million cops right now, do you feel safe? And usually their answer is no. And what abolition feels like to them is nothing, right? It feels like absolutely nothing.
Right, right.
And when you have nothing, no investment in your education, in your healthcare, you know, in any of the things that will make you live a life where you can thrive, police feel like something. And something can feel like everything, right?
Yes.
If your option is nothing. And so what I tried to articulate is that police abolition or prison abolition, it's not merely the absence of police, right? It's eliminating the root causes of harm, and it's eliminating the kind of society that could rely on police to solve that harm, because we know police can't solve it. So that's sort of where I start. I ask people if they feel safe, what makes them feel safe, and how can we start building that world together instead of just relying on police to do that work because it's ineffective.
I ask this question. I go, why can we not as society not just eliminate the need for police in those certain areas? So we go, I agree with you. Police shouldn't be helping people unlock their cars. Police shouldn't be helping a homeless person who's on the street. Police shouldn't be interacting with somebody who has a mental illness. Police shouldn't be coming to you because you played your music too loud, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And police, I think, would say the same thing.
Of course.
So if we eliminate the need for police to do those things, and then they can focus on subduing criminals, you know, like as you said, the murderers, the killers, the kidnappers, the whatever it would be,
mm-hmm,
would that not solve the problem? Why do you still argue for abolition as a whole?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, one reason is because we should ask questions like, why do people kill people? Or why do people commit sexual violence? Because sending police to go and arrest someone who's a murderer, it doesn't prevent the murder, right? So I think about the neighborhood where I grew up. So many black boys that I had crushes on don't live to become men. They mm-hmm just don't. They don't make it past 21. They don't make it past 15. They don't make it past 30. It's not as if police are standing out in front of their houses every night protecting them from the bullets that enter their windows. That's not what policing do.
Okay.
Police can go get the person who may have killed them, but that doesn't save lives. That's 15,000, 16,000 people who are killed in the U.S. 16,000 people, rather, who are killed in the U.S. every single year. And what we essentially task police to do is go be body searchers when we actually know what eliminates and prevents murders, right, which is a strong economy, jobs, healthcare, mm-hmm. education, being connected as a part of a community where there's accountability. If you're disrupting communities by taking away jobs, by decimating education, by putting people in prison, so then when they come out, they're in a much more precarious situation in the first place, you're essentially creating the conditions for more violence, right? And that doesn't keep anybody safe.
In a world where the police have been abolished.
Yes.
Two things. One, what is the transitionary period?
Okay.
You know, because that's a scary part. It's like, because when you go abolish the police, people go like, so no police tomorrow? Does that mean we get a triple spike of murder?
That is not what happens.
And then the second part of that question is, so it's like, one, what is the transitionary period? And two, what then happens when somebody kills? People have been killing from Bible times.
Yes,
you know, so what then happens? So let's start with, what is the transitionary period?
Yes. Can I actually answer the questions in reverse?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So if we think about something like, I don't know, murder.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of murder happen because a man wants to control the sexuality of a woman.
Okay.
And so that's not something that's natural to a man. It's something he's conditioned to do under patriarchy, right? And so abolitionists ask, how can we eradicate what's conditioning men to believe that they should be able to control a woman's sexual life? Right. Mm-hmm. How do we eradicate that impulse to say, no, you can't leave this house. No, you can't break up
right.
with me, to the point where we'll murder that person.
Mm-hmm.
The second reason why people kill each other is for control, like over petty arguments. Something you've said, and I'm using men as an example because they're overwhelmingly convicted of murder.
Right.
OK. Not to diss any man. OK, so. The second reason why people kill each other is because of these petty arguments, right?
Right.
It's like, you said something
yes.
that insulted my manhood, right. and now I'm angry, and now we're going to...
Or you've taken something that is why you've overstepped the boundary.
Exactly,
right.
exactly. So people are conditioned to do that. And the good thing about... Well, it's not good that they're conditioned, but that conditioning can be undone, right? We can teach people to have different kinds of relationships. We can teach men and boys and children how to interact with women differently, or people who are trans or people who are queer.
I don't disagree with that.
Yes.
However, I wonder, is that not leading to a utopian place? Like, it's a utopian ideal, but what happens... Mm-hmm. I still ask the only question, which is, what happens if 8 out of 10 men are like, we've been conditioned, we are fine with this.
Yes.
2 out of 10 men come and go, I'm taking what's yours, I'm killing your woman, I'm doing... Who then now...
Yes, which is why I tried to answer the questions in reverse.
Okay.
Because one, abolition does not happen overnight. There are
okay.
a million cops, there are 2,300 jails and prisons,
mm-hmm,
there are
mm-hmm.
18,000 law enforcement agencies. America loves cops. There's no way abolition is going to happen like overnight.
Right.
And there's no abolitionist who I know, who I organize with, who expects it to happen. What we do expect people is to be committed to experimentation, to figuring out how to get there. How do we get to that 2 out of 10?
I hear you.
Because right now we're in a society where it's like 9 out of 10.
I hear you.
How do we even get there? And so what's frustrating is that people will have... take a whole step back and say, well, you don't have an answer for every single scenario.
So there's no need to do anything.
Right. What's so sad is that cops don't have an answer for every single scenario. But who is funded? Police,
mm.
right? We get increased police budgets, murder jumps. Okay, we need to increase police. Well, if they knew the answer, if more police was the answer, then why isn't murder decreasing? Why isn't theft decreasing? Why isn't all these ills in society decreasing? And so we're doing the inverse, right? So the one example that's usually helpful for me is the analogy of like a house with a leaky roof.
Right.
Right. So you have, it's dripping and dripping and dripping. And then you put a bucket underneath it to catch this water. The leak picks up. Next thing you know, the buckets are overflowing. And at some point, someone who has sense in the house says, we need to get rid of these buckets because they're like, it's mess everywhere. It's not working on the leak. And abolitionists are trying to figure out, well, why is the house leaking in the first place?
Got it.
Right. And the police are kind of like the buckets, except buckets don't kill people. They're kind of like the buckets. People are like, you want to take buckets out of my house? This is going to flood. It's going to smell like mildew. It's going to be messy. And we're like, no. we don't want your house to flood. We want the roof to stop leaking. And it's going to take much more to stop that roof from leaking than it is just to keep replacing buckets, buying buckets, getting different colors of buckets. There's only so much we can do with that, because buckets were not intended to stop leaks, right? That takes a different kind of skill and a different kind of imagination, a different kind of commitment.
Fundamentally, what you're saying is Americans need to think about solving the cause instead of only treating the symptoms.
Yes.
And to that I say good luck.
Okay.
Derica, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course.
It's been amazing having you here, and your book is twice as amazing as the conversation, because you can have it for much longer.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.